We're up to Divrei Hayamim, Perek Beis. We're still in the middle of describing the Yichus of Chetzrayin. And specifically, we're focusing on Kolev. Let's go over some of the Rashis. There's some interesting Rashis here. Let's just go back a few Pesukim. Let's go back to Pasuk. Let's go back to Pasuk Tess, Rashi Tess. So we learned yesterday about Kolev. We look on the chart, on the hand that we have Kolev. Kolev was the son of Chetzron. Kolev had a son. He had in this chart, it says there's 1 through 4 on the left side of Kolev. Aziva, Urios, Eifa, and Macha. We did not yet touch Eifa and Macha. We mentioned Aziva and Urios. It's not really clear if Aziva and Urios are daughters or their wives. I translated yesterday as two wives. I told you they had two wives. The first wife was Aziva. The second wife was Urios. Aziva died, and then he married a third wife, Ephros. That's all we learned yesterday. And there's more coming later, a reference to another two wives. But not everyone even agrees that Aziva and Urios are wives. We'll read the Pesukim again as we come there. And then from him came Chur, Uri, Betzalel, and that's what we're going to see now in much more in greater detail. So let's see Pasuk Tes, V.S. Kiluvi. In Pasuk Tes, we mentioned that his name is called Kiluvoi. So Rashi over here right away tells us that Kolev, don't make any mistake about it, Kiluvoi is the same as Kolev, even though we have Vavna Yud. K'moshe Mechiech Lamata, as we're going to see later on, we go through the names, it has to be, since we have Chur and Uri, Betzalel, and these people are mentioned in Chumash, it has to be, it's not possible, there's another series of people with the same name. It has to be that Kolev Kiluvi has to be the Kolev mentioned in the Torah, the son of Chetzron, period. Now, the Sefer Ksev and Shmuel, it says, V'hu Kolivi. Okay, you have Nekudas in your edition? I don't have Nekudas in my edition. And some of the Rashis, some of the better Mikros Kedobos have Nekudas. Okay, but here, Kiluvi, so there it's Kilovi, there the Nekudos, there's no Vav. It's Kilivi, if I'm not mistaken. But there the Vav is missing, and it's not pronounced as we have it, Kiluvoi. It's the base definitely has a chirik V. So he says that's another way of spelling the name. So there are many spellings and pronunciations for the same person. The Targum there in Sefer Shmuel translate this to mean with the base called. We know there's no real Targum for Ksuvim. Ksuvim does not have Targum. And this Sefer, it's interesting, you have here Targum Yosef. You have what appears to be an attempt to follow in the pattern of Targum, where he adds into the translation many interesting interpretations and midrashim into the Targum, but it's not the real Targum. Of course, not Yonis ben Uziel. Chazal tell us there is no Targum, because if there would be Targum, it would have revealed all of the secrets of Ksuvim. Ksuvim, as we mentioned many times, Rabbi tells us the secrets of Achris Hayomim, Yimos HaMashiach. And these things are not meant to be revealed to the masses, to the Hamayinam, and therefore there is no Targum. The Rabbi Yonasan ben Uziel was not permitted to put into writing the translation and the secrets of Ksuvim. So the Targum that we have is not really a Targum, it's just someone who came along later on and followed in the style of the Targum and added different things. But in the Nevi'im, there is a real Targum. There is the real deal. And therefore he quotes here the Targum, and that's why it's very interesting. If you want to understand the deeper understanding of Ksuvim and Ksuvim, you match up with what it says in the Nevi'im, and you look at the Targum, then you'll find deeper meaning. And there in Targum and Sefer Shmuel it says, the base Kolev, it says that what it says, Kilavi, the extra yud, we mentioned this yesterday, means he comes from the family of Kolev. Kolev doesn't just, when there's an extra yud appended to a name, it doesn't just mean a person, it means a head of a family. The base Kolev, from the home, that Kolev was from the family of Kolev, the Kach Tirgim Kolev, the Kach Targum, Kalavi, Machzik, and this is how the Targum there says, Kalavi, Machzik, Hoya, Mispar, Bi Atzmo, Shein, Mi Yuchas, Bechol, Shevet, Kamohu. The reason why there's a Yud, V means me, has a connotation of the possessiveness. What do you mean the possessiveness? He took pride that from him will come greatness, because there's no one in the family, in his entire family, that had as much yichus as him, even though it's not the way it worked out. Person shouldn't take part, because the malchus did not come from Kalev, it came from Ram, his brother. Let's see, Rashi explains, so Kalevi machzik hoya. He took hold of himself. Umispar be'atzmo. He took pride. She'ein miyuchus b'chol shevet kamo. Kolaymar im Shmuel nosan loy melucha. If Shmuel will give him melucha, li tava melucha, that he was certain that Shmuel would give him malchus, and that was not the case. In other words, he knew. I guess we all Kurdish that there would be a navi called Shmuel, and Shmuel will anoint the king, and he thought it would come from him. Bealkein Nemar mi David umi ben Yishai Hayoim Rabu Avadim Shreyatsa Meirus Hamavia, because he saw, I guess, Aruch HaKodesh, that David is not from the best Yichus. David comes from Yishai, and he comes from Boaz, and Boaz married Rus Hamavia, and it was well at this point in time that it was questionable if a descendant of Moab can be a melech. And if you go to Yerachmiel, if you look all the way to the right side, Yerachmiel, he married Atorah. Okay, Atorah, we're going to see, was a Gioris. She was not Jewish, she was beautiful. She was beautiful, she was like a crown. A beautiful woman, and he married her, but she's not Jewish. So look what's going on here. We have Kalev. Kalev marries Aziva, which some learn in Ephras. Some learn they're the same person. We'll see that soon in a moment. Who was Miriam, the sister of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yichus. His brother Ram, he has two brothers, Kalev. He has Ram. He knows that Ram al Piruach HaKodesh is going to, his seed's going to be mingled with the seed of Moab. Big problem. And his third brother Yerachmiel is going to marry a Gioris. So he took him in his self pride. That's it. Li Hamalucha, Gesundheit, that I am going to receive the Malucha, because there's no one in the family of the Shevet of Yehuda with Peretz and Chetzron. I'm it. It's going to come from me.
So
that's why he became slightly, that's not for us to say about anyone in the Ishayat Tanakh, they were conceited, we can't be masik who these people were, but that explains why it's the V, a very interesting insight, V, and that's not the way it says it here. In this pasuk here it says Kiluvoy, but there in Sefer Shmuel it says Kilovi. V has Chivik, me. From me will come the Li Hamalucha, when Shmuel will one day come anoint kings. So the Evik Mashal Lamata Vzeh Kolovi Misnasei Miskoya Asher. That's why Kolovi Nosolibo, and that's why his heart lifted him up. Fine. Okay, that's one thing. That's one interesting idea to learn about Kolev. Next, Nachshon Nasi. Then we go to Nachshon Nasi. Basically, we go to Nachshon. Nachshon was the Nasi. Nachshon ben Aminadav. So Rashi repeats the Ka'atzah of many times. The reason why we mention Nachshon was a Nasi to remind us that from Nachshon will come David, and we want to always highlight the Mailois and the Yichus of David HaMelech. The Salm HaHoyle, that's Boyas, Rabbeinu Amub, Etzpon Ze Boyas. Who is Etzpon? So you study Sefer Shoftim. In Sefer Shoftim there was a Shoftim, his name was Etzpon. Etzpon is the same as Boaz. This is very probably for Erev Shavuos. Etzpon is the Ivtson. I'm sorry. Ivtson ze Boaz. And here in Divrei Hayamim, we learn about Boaz. There's no mention of Ivtson, but they're one and the same. V'teimu yesh heich yochel yos v'hakad possibly be. So here's something very important, Rashi, about age problems. V'aloi nachshon b'shana shnei litzias mitzrayim eis. How could it possibly? It's Ivtson lived during the Shoftim. The Shoftim lived after Bias Haaretz. He's going to the numbers now, so go slowly. How could it be that Boyas is the same as Ivtson? Nachshon over here, Ben Aminadav, who was the grandfather of Boaz, he lived during the Midbar. Can you imagine? He already died. He was the Nasi. He died in the second year of Yitzhiyah. So there were another 38 years to go until they came into Eretz Yisrael. V'Salmon b'nei meis kvar. And Salmon, his son, already meis kvar. No, so Kalas Vuhoyomi Boy Aretz. Salmon already at the time. I'm not sure what this means. The Salmon Bino Meis Kvar. I'm not sure what that means. Vuhoyomi Boy Aretz. And he, Salmon, appears from the Boy Aretz. Was from the Boy Aretz. And at this point in time, Salmon already died. At the time of Ivtson, Salmon was no longer, seemingly what it means is, at the time of Boaz, Salmon was no longer living, and Salmon was from the Boyaretz. Boaz b'no shuhu Ivtson, Boaz, who is the son of Salmon, who is the same as Ivtson, b'chnisas el yaretz, noilat, he was born when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, u'miyitzias mitzrayim ad yiftach, but here's the big problem, from the time of yitzias from ad yiftach, ha'yu sholosh me'o shana, were 300 years, and Ivtson came after yiftach. So something doesn't make sense. This person, Boaz, Salmon, was from the people who entered into Eretz Yisrael, and he had a son, Boaz, and Boaz was saying it's Ivtson, but Ivtson cannot have possibly been a Shoifet for at least 300 more years, because Ivtson is listed as the later Shoiftim, later than Yiftach. So, what's going on? How could it possibly be that he lived for 300 years? And Boaz, when he was born on Rus, that night he died. And that has to mean, the Ivtson, the Siv says in the Pasuk, V'yishroed Acharov Es Yisrael, Ivtson, Mibetz Lechem. So, how could it possibly be that means, it would have to mean that Boaz was about 300 years old when he fathered Ovet. But a person who's 300 years old cannot have children, Rashi says. Well, the Mefarish, the Alzani Tamia Shematzina Biavram Shu Omar Liachas Shenitzarer Domoy VaOmar Halaben Mea Shana Yivoleit. Avraham said about himself that he's already 100 years old, and it's no longer possible for him to father children. And it was only due to a miracle that he was able to have a child. How could it then be that Boaz was able to father a child when he was 300 years old? The Yesh Loimar, Al Kain, Omar, and Nechnami was a miracle. Vayitin Hashem lo herayon, dugmoso vayareyu Hashem, Hashem shonim, was a miracle that she became pregnant from Boaz. So let's review over here the sequence of events. Rashi here says we got a very big problem because Chazal tell us that Ivtson is the same person as Boaz. But Ivtson lived more than 300 years after Bnei Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael. How do we know this? Because Ivtson was a Shoifet after Yiftach. The Pasuk says in Shoiftim clearly. And we know that from the time of the beginning of Bias Aretz until Yiftach was a Shoifet, 300 years passed. So now how old was that? So that's when he was living then 300 years later. When was he born? He had to have been born approximately at the time of Dr. Fruchter.
Yes.
It was a miracle. Correct.
That was his
tafkid
in life.
Yeah, but Rashi says that if we might, we find by Avraham Avinu that he was 100 years old, and he said that it's impossible for me to have children. He complained to Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's not sure he told me to have a child, Yitzchak, but I'm already 100 years old. My wife is 90, I'm 100, if it's impossible. Allah has kav akam. We're dealing with many generations later on. We're dealing over here with a few hundred years later on, more than a few hundred, dealing with almost 1,000 years later. How could it possibly be in the Skadim Ados that Boaz is able to have a child when he's 300 years old? It's not mistaken.
But what about the fact that he is 300 years old?
That's also excellent. That's also... That's all part of Rashi's question. Okay, but let's review the sequence of events. We know that Ivtson lived was a shofet after Yiftach. That means it's more than 300 years since they entered into Eretz Yisrael. And the second part we have to understand is that when was Ivtson born? He was born approximately at the time when they came into Eretz Yisrael. How do we know this? Because Nachshon ben Aminadav died in the second year of Yitzias Mitzrayim. There were 39 years left to go. And in between Nachshon and Boaz, we only have a Salma and a Boaz. Okay, we only have two generations. And we have over 348 years to go until we get to Boaz. So something doesn't make sense. So the answer therefore is, Enochlami was nothing less than a miracle. Now why was he called Ivtson? Why does Chazal tell us, what is the name? That's all the purpose of why is Boaz called Ivtson? Ivtson, Lashon of Tzonein, to be cold. And it alludes to the miracle. It alludes to the fact that when Boaz was in the granary and he was lying next to a young woman, Rus HaMoaviyah, and no one was watching, he was able to control his taiva and not touch her, not come close to her. He caused himself to cool down his passion. That's such a kasha. The answer to Rashi is, he's 300 years old. So you'd assume he didn't have any passion. So, I mean, there's a steer of Minei Obey. What?
He was a smart guy.
Yeah, she was a young woman. So she was able, so she had a taiva.
It was only here.
She had a taiva to be with a 300-year-old man?
Why
did she lay
down next to him?
What?
The old man had a good idea. She dies, that's all.
Okay, the questions are greater than the answers. Ivtson, Rashi says, just because I know this, Rashi, Av l'chol hatzinunim. He was the father. This is like a Hasidic Torah. He was the father. It's like a Hasidic Torah. He was the father to all who they were cold. What does it mean, cold? He was able to cool his taiva, his passion, his yetzahara for Noshim. He was able to discipline, to control that passion, which is called chamimus, and make it cold and not to be nichshol in aveira. Shrei isha bachuda shachve etzloi v'nitztanein. He cooled himself. V'loi nogabo, did not touch her. Okay.
He died.
That night, he died that night, and she was pregnant from that maisa. A young girl.
She was at least
4 years. She was the least, because she was already married twice. She was married at least once to Machloin, right? To Machloin. Someone, she was married to both Machloin Vichilya. It was a Yibam. She was married twice, according to some opinions. So how old was she? I don't know the answer. Right? I don't know. Okay, but she's a bachura. What?
Did he go to the Goyal the next morning before he had?
No, that was before. Not in the granary. The granary, he didn't touch her. The night after. And then he got married. The night when he got married, he died. That followed the night after he got married, or the night of his marriage. Okay, pasuk yudgimel v'ishayelit is b'choyroi mole aleph. Why is there an aleph? Kolaymar ish gibor chayil. So we discussed yesterday the aleph is ish. It's Jewish, Ish, and he personified mankind. Yishai was a great person, he was the ultimate Ish, ultimate man. Here Rashi says Aleph, in this Lashon of Aluf. Aleph is a letter which stands for chief. Aluf is Aluf, a chief. He was a great man. The same idea, we take the Yishai and we pair it with an Aleph to express this idea. Okay, next Rashi, David Hashi. This is a very important David, because David here has a Yud. Rashi says that a Shvi Mola Yud. Okay, the Darshanim, they like this, right? They like this because it gives them another opportunity to make Gematrius by adding 10 more. The Gematria doesn't work without a Yud, so you make it work with a Yud. You have more opportunities. David is spelled Mole. Just like Yerushalayim is generally spelled Choser, except for a few places, 5 places it's spelled Mole. Likewise here we have a very unique spelling of David's name, David with a Yud, and Rashi says, Mole Yud b'mnei kvoidoi shel David. Nochemo, if you count the times that Rashi says this idea, that the whole Sefer of Divrei Hayam is ordered to give cover to David, you have a large number, and that's why, finally we came to the Tafkid of Divrei Hayam and we got it with a Yud Mole. V'yata motzah hamargolis, Now Rashi returns to his mashal. We found the pearl. Lefichach leimone hashemini Eliyahu. We did not even bother counting the eighth child, Eliyahu. We right away jumped to, we said David Hashvi, and we forgot about Eliyahu. We'll see the mitzvah soon. He has a little bit of more of a discussion about Eliyahu, the number eight. Okay, pasuk kazayin. We learned about the sisters. Who are the sisters? Sri of Avigail, mibnei kavodah shel David, shayu bnei achesai, giborim v'anshei chayil, because of the honor of David, that their children, not them, but their children, Yoav, Amasa, Asael, they were chashuvim. Mibnei kavodah shel David, shayu bnei achesai, giborim v'anshei chayil, v'sodim kach mafurish. That's why they are specified. Yes, sir, hayishmeli uveshmuel ksif hayisrael. We discussed yesterday. Beretz merit beretz yishmuel hayadar. So here he brings out this idea that he lived, that according to Rashi, does not mean in any way, if this is Rashi's opinion, the Mefarish, there are many approaches, he was not a convert. Don't make any mistake about it, he was a regular, full-fledged Jew. Rather, we just want to call him Yishmeli, he was living in their territory. He was, and therefore, and he gives many examples of this, Be'eretz Yishmol Ho'yadar, Dugma Space Oved Edom, he was a person, Oved, and he was called Oved Edom, because he lived in the nation of Edom. Hagiti, his father was Ish Mitzri. Does not mean that he lived, not was a convert. It means that he lived in the land of Mitzrayim. So that's Rashi's approach. Other Mepharshim say no, they were converts. Other Mepharshim, they're all different approaches, but this is one approach that they really full-fledged Yisraelim, and they were called by different nations because that's where they lived. Seemingly for business purposes, they had to live in these countries. The Kol Ben Chetzrayin, Hayludas Azuva Isha. What?
Malachi, yeah. With Yoav, is it mentioned that David was the uncle of?
Yes, Tsruya. Yes, he's called. Doesn't say the uncle, but it says Tsruya. Yoav ben Tsruya is the name. Yoav ben Tsruya. It's self understood. It's self understood. Tsruya. When you say Tsruya, who is Tsruya? So it was self understood that it was David's sister. Yoav, it's clear. Yes, I assume so. I don't know the psukim.
Refers to Sri as being his sister.
I think it's self understood. It's a given. It's a given that we know that. That's clear. Okay, now we go to the Kolab and Chetz Nachonides Azuva Isha. So we discussed yesterday. I told yesterday a pshat. I told you really what it says in the Mitzudas, which we'll see in a few moments. But Rashi here says something entirely different. Rashi Lefi Shochay Sola Isha Sheshma Azuva. Rashi tells us that this was not his first wife. It does not even tell us who his second wife was. He had a wife whose name was Azuva, and she died. He then married a second wife, and the pasuk does not tell us who his second wife was, and he named his daughter after his first wife. Okay, today that wouldn't go, right? That's not acceptable today to do such a thing like that, but that's how it was in ancient times. His first wife died, the second wife, he called his daughter Azuva, my wife. He looked at his second wife, you're my second wife, my daughter is a reminder of my first wife. It says later on, okay, that says that's the next pasuk Yutes. That's how he explains. He had a wife, according to Rashi. This is a very, very interesting look at the two pasuk Yutes and pasuk Yutes. It's a very novel interpretation. Is the Kolib and Chetzun Choludes Azuva Isha Vyes Yirios. So according to Rashi, that Azuva and Yirios are daughters. You have so many interpretations of how to translate this pasuk. Rashi, these are two of Kalev's daughters. Number one was Azuva, number two was Yirios. The reason why we called his daughter Azuva Isha was because she was named after his first wife. Now, all we know then is that he did have a wife Azuva, gave birth to these two, and who is the mother of these two children? It was the Elav Onecha, and Cholid Azuva Isha Vyes Yirios. The Eile Vonecha, and according to Rashi, these are her children. Her children, now it's not clear how Rashi follows through the Eile Vonecha of the Sarah. These are the children I'm not sure, one more time. The Choleb and Chetzron Choled Es Azuv Isha. Vyes Yirios. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, maybe I'm wrong, but I think that according to Rashi, the Eilav Onecha refers to the children of his grandchildren. These are her children of Azuva Yesher v'sheva v'adron. That's seemingly how you have to learn Mishan the Pasuk. Azuva and Yerios were daughters of Kalev, and his grandchildren were called Yesher, Shoivav, and Adrain. Right? Is that seemingly would appear to be the Pshat according to Rashi. And now Pasuk Yutes according to Rashi fills in the blanks. Thomas Azuva, why? How does it come about? Azuva died. Vayikach lecholiv es Ephros. And he married Ephros. So according to Rashi, Ephros was the mother of Azuva and Urios, and now, in addition, was also the mother of Chor. It's a little bit roundabout way of that's what Rashi says. Look at Rashi says it should be the Isha because the sibling Thomas Azuva, but he can't call him as Ephros. Mikan shachayis lo Isha shushma Azuva. He had a wife called Azuva, and Vatel lo yeschor, and they had these children. Okay, we'll see in the Mitzvahs in a few moments a little different the interpretation. V'chor Rashi v'chor Holudes. Now here comes the very important Rashi. The Chor Holudes Uri Chor gave birth to as Uri the Uri Holudes Vitzalel Tzei v'chashoyv. Rashi says something fishy is going on over here.
Trying to calculate.
We know, we mentioned yesterday that if we're going to say that Kalev is the same Kalev ben Yefune, is going to be the same Kalev who was the father, Kalev, we said Kalev had, like, let's see this Rashi verse. V'chor Holudes Uri, v'kuri Chor Holudes Bitzal, Tzei v'chashoyv, shekol echad mehem ho'yipachos ben shmoyna shana kisholido. Min shmoyna was less than 8 years old kisholido when they became fathers. They were 8 years old when they became fathers. Why? Sharei, Kalev ho'yip ben mehem shon b'meraglam. We know for a fact that in the first year of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kalev was 40 years old. The Chsim is a Ferish Apasik. Ben Arboim, Shon Anochi, Bishloyach, I was 40 years old when Moshe Rabbeinu, he sent me to spy on the land. So it's the Ferish Apasik. The Oysa Shokvar Noldu Kulam Shrei Hukam HaMishkan Shasa B'Tzal. And we know for a fact in that year, in the second year, when they went to spy near Tishol, the Mishkan was already standing. And who built the Mishkan? The grandson of Kalev. His grandson B'Tzal. So B'Tzal, how long was B'Tzal? So we have a Medrash, a very important Medrash. This is a very good Torah for Bar Mitzvah. Bar Mitzvah, very popular Jewish for Bar Mitzvah. Bitzal was 13 years old when he built the base, when he built the Mishkan. Bitzal b'shasha kulam shari hukam ha-mishkan shayisa bitzal kolev hoi ben ches. Now, let's see. So now Rashi makes a calculation. Kolev hoi ben ches. He was 8 years old. Kishahoy l'razuva. Isha. So Kalev, let's assume, was 8 years old when Kishahoylid Azuva Isha, when Azuva was born, Uben Tes Kishahoylid Yirios, and he was 9 years old. It takes at least 1 year, right? About 1 year for the next baby to come. So 9 months, but here it took a year. So now he was 9 years old. What? 9 years old when Yirios. Okay. And then what happened? The Achar Misas Azuva Ishtoi Lokach Es Ephros. And then after his wife died, he took Ephros. The Hoyludas Chur B'Shana Acheres Hare Ben Yud Shanim. 3 children, 3 years. Okay, it's not impossible. 8, 9, 10. So 3 children are born. Chur is being born. How old is the father? He's 10 years old. And he gave birth to Chur. And Chur is the third child. The Chur, now let's go 8 years ahead. The Chur ben Ches, Kishoyle des Uri. And Chur needs to be at least 8 years old until he gets run as a baby. So Chur is now 8 years old and he gives birth to Uri. How old does that make Kalev the grandfather? It makes him 18 years old. Because if he was 10 years old when he had his third child, and now his third child is having his first child, and he's 8 years old, that takes Kalev 8 years ahead in his life. He's 18 years old. V'uri ben Ches k'shohelid b'tzala. The grandson now 8 years old and now has his first child when he's b'tzala. How old does that make the grandfather? Add 8 to 18, 26.
Edmund says Kalev was a great grandfather, 26.
Now, what's going to be with the bar mitzvah of Bezalel? 13 more years. So add 13 to 26, 39. That means at his great-great-grandson's bar mitzvah, he was only 39 years old. Pretty good, huh? 39 years old, great-great-grandson. They say for the Gedolim, to be a grandfather is not a kunz. To be a great-grandfather, that's the kunz. What?
Great-great-grandfather.
He was a great-great-grandfather. Uri ben Ches k'sholeh b'tzal. Harei chavav shalem. L'chsiv is the pasuk, the es kol ish chacham leiv. Now this is the makar for the medrash. It's kedai to know this makar. It calls b'tzalel an ish. The es kol ish chacham leiv will build the Mishkan in Shemos Lamed Vav. And who is the builder? The ish chacham leiv b'tzalel. No matter how smart you are, you can't call yourself an ish unless you're 13 years old. And therefore, Bezalel had to be a minimum of 13 years old to build a Mishkan. V'yei nishpachas miyud gimel shana. Harei Bezalel b'shah sh'osa Mishkan ben yud gimel shana. Had to be 13 years old. You have yud gimel shana, your text? Is that what it says there? Ben yud gimel shana? Yeah, because I have a mistake here. It says yud ches shana. Gimel shana. Harei mem shana chasrachas. That makes Kalev 39 years old at the time of the building of the Mishkan. The next year, he was 40 years old when Moshe Rabbeinu sent him out to spy on Eretz Yisrael. Nimsa shekol echad mehei. Each one of these five people, Kalev, Chor, Uri, Bezalel, and who's the fifth one? Kol echad. Kol shekol echad mehem. Shekol echad mehem. Haya pachos minches kishalidai v'chein mefurish beperik ben sorer umore umedrish. The medrish says ben sheish v'sheish. There's another conflicting medrish that says a different calculation. They were 6 years old. It does not provide it with the details. Chalidai. Okay, so that is something which is an interesting idea to know, to take note of this, and that Kalev here, Kalev was. Now, Kalev was at this that we mentioned yesterday. The other problem with this calculation, if we're going to say that this is the Kalev from the Torah, going backwards to Yehuda, going backwards to Yehuda, that doesn't make sense. Something doesn't add up here, because it doesn't make. So we just made a very nice calculation that Kalev was 8 years old when he gave birth to Chor, and then he was 60 was 10 years old. He was 8 years old when he gave birth to Azuv and Yerios. He was 10 years old when he gave birth to Chor, and then that follows how we get 40 years old when he went to spy in the land. But let's go backwards. Kalev was the son of Chetzron, and Chetzron was the son of Peretz, and Peretz was the son of Yehuda. Now let me ask you, how many years was there between Yehuda and the Maisa of the Meraglim? Well, they were in Egypt for 210 years, right? They were there for 210 years in Egypt, and when they went already into Mitzrayim, when the 210 years began, you know who was already alive? Chetzron was already alive. Right, Chetzron says the pasuk that they came into Eretz Yisrael. Who was there? There was Yehuda, who had a son Peretz, who had a son Chetzron. He was alive. So when exactly did Chetzron give birth to Kalev, that Kalev now can be 10 years old at the time when Chor is born, and that's happening in the second year of Yitzias Mitzrayim? So Uchayra Kalev was born shortly when they came into Eretz Yisrael. He wasn't alive then, right? Make sure I'm not making any mistake. Kalev was not, it's not on that list. Kalev's not on the list, right? There's no Kalev. It was Chetzron, his father. That has to mean that Chetzron was about 170 something or more at least 170 something when he gave birth to Kalev, if you want to work with that approach. That's the difficulty. I told you yesterday, Kalev had to be that old. You have to go a step backwards. If it was saying that Kalev was 10 years old when he gave birth to Hur, and when did his father give birth to him? When did his father have him? But his father was from the people who came into Mitzrayim. And that was 211 years ago. And how old was his father when they came into Mitzrayim? He could have been an adult already. He could have been 20, 30, 40. He could have been already 50 years old. We don't know exactly how old he was. And now you're going to add that to another 210 years? Something doesn't work out. That was what we discussed yesterday, but at least could I to go through to get this idea. Okay, that pretty much concludes what we've done in the Rashi. Let's go, okay, there's some interesting mitzvahs, and we'll jump to a couple of...
Only this 40s when they went down to Mitzrayim.
And he already had Chetzron. Okay, so that's a difficulty which has to be resolved. Now let's just see some of the mitzvahs, because he says some things which are not like Rashi, which explains some interesting ideas. Let's jump back in the Mitzudos to Pasik, let's see, Yud, let's go to Pasik Tes Vav in the Mitzudos, the David HaShevi. So the Mitzudos is deeply disturbed why we call David the seventh and not the eighth. Not the eighth, we don't mention Elihu, who was it? V'lo zohar hashmini shu Elihu. Why? Shekimu David l'nigid al Yehuda. David established Elihu a prince. David was David's younger brother, and David appointed him a prince. V'yitochein loymar. It's possible she Elihu hoya mi isha acheres. This is a very novel chiddush of the Mitzudos, which is discussed by commentators, and a lot of them do not agree, as he acknowledged. It's very rare for the Mitzudos to acknowledge that what he's saying is novel. He's going to say that soon, that what I'm saying now is not absolutely correct. And he says, the talking lema shel yu hoya mi isha cheres. And then he goes on to say, what about Tsiruya and Vavigal, the two sisters, hoyu achuyos l'shiva so'achim, rak min ho'im, only from the mother. So now, what does that mean? That means that, think about this, that if, look at what comes out, the result, and this explains some very complicated stories in Tanakh. I don't know the details, but there's some complicated stories in Tanakh where you have relationship problems. But look what happens now. Elihu was related to David only through the same father, but not from the same mother. And his sisters were sisters to David through the mother, but not through the father. So what does that mean then? He ate up 1 + 1. Elihu and the two sisters of David were not related at all. There was no relationship between them. Because David was related to Elihu through a different mother. A different woman. Okay, that's already half. And his sisters, he was related to through a different father. They had the same mother. But that can very well mean that that mother and that father were not the same. So, Elihu's relationship to David's two sisters, Tsuruya and Avigail, there was no relation. They had a different mother and a different father. That's a very interesting idea. So that's what he says over here. So we're talking about Mashalio Hoyam Yisha Cheres from a different wife. Tsuruya Vavigal Hoyachlios Lashiva Soachim Rakmino Aim. They were sisters only from the mother but not from the father. Vilomino Av. Vim Yachshev Imohem Gamez Elihu. If we would then try to join Elihu together, since we want to group together the sisters, it would not fit. Oslo Hoyachol Loimar Viach Yusehem Tsuruya Vavigal Kil Elihu Lohoya Achyu. They were not sisters. So brilliant dig in the pasuk. The reason why we had to stop after 7 and not go to number 8, because we want to conclude by mentioning that we have here two sisters. We have Tsuruya and Avigal, who were sisters. If we're going to list 8, Elihu, you can no longer say that they were sisters, because they're not sisters. They're sisters to the first 7 through the same mother. but they're not sisters to Elihu, not through the mother, not through the father. They're completely different. And therefore, that is why I have no makar for what I'm saying. I'm saying a very novel interpretation of the pasuk, which makes sense to explain why we did not be able to list. We had to stop short and not list Elihu in order not to make a mistake and think that they're going to be sisters in some way or form. But Chazal give no indication that this is correct. So I stand back. I stand down. I just say this to align you to this idea. Next, the kolav in chetzer, mevnikva the kolav v'shal yinasi hiktim gam oisol yachmil abuchar. Because of the kavod was a nasi. He was a prince. That's why he comes before Yerachmiel. Yerachmiel, and we have three brothers: Yerachmiel, Ram, and Kolev. These are the three sons of Chetzron. We're going in order. We first mentioned Ram. Ram is Malchus. And then we mentioned Kolev, because Kolev was a Nasi. He was a prince. And therefore, Yerachmiel comes last. Holiness Azuva Yisha. Holiness and Azuva. So here we have the Rash. Here they have the interpretation of the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos, his interpretation is the way we learned yesterday. Hoylid Bonimin Azuva Ishtai, he produced children from his wife Azuva, Umin Yurios. The Chain Kitseis, the word S is to be interpreted min from. Chain Kitseis min Uir, Vimishwat min Uir. Okay, next, Mitsudos Vesvil Bonecha, Shalachas, Vesvil, according to the Mitsudos, when it says these are children, it refers to the first wife. The first wife was Azuva, and she had three children, Yesher, Shoivav, and Ardoin. Now, by the way, the Gemara says that these three names, Yesher, Shoivav, and Ardoin, who simply are the three sons of Azuva, are three names describing Kolev. Kolev did not follow in the Eitzah of the Meraglim, in the council of the Meraglim, and in reward for this, he's called Yesher, Lashon Yosher. He was straight. He was not crooked like the Meraglim. Shoivav, he went back. He did not go forward with the council of the Meraglim. And Ardoin also, Lashon of, he controlled, he controlled his taiva, his desire. He did not follow their counsel. So that concludes this section. Okay, one other thing. Azuva, many Mepharshim learn Azuva, the Midrashim, that Azuva refers to who? She's another name for Miriam. Why was she called Azuva? She was sickly. Why was she sick? No one wanted to marry her. She was abandoned. She had a hard time with a shidduch. And this Kolev, he married her. He married her L'shem Shemayim. And even though she was sickly, and that's why the pasuk says, a famous Chazal, that's why the pasuk says that it's called her daughter. Chazal Darsh, anyone who marries a woman l'shem shamayim, not for taiva, not for his own self gratification, not for his own pride, certainly not for money, anything like that, it's ki'ilu he gave birth to his wife. Let me read you the words of Azuva. Let me first tell you the Gemara in Saita. The Gemara in Saita is called Azuva. Azuva zo Miriam. V'lamidikoshma Azuva. El lefisha kol azavuha mibitchila. Everyone stayed far away. When they read a boy, would you like to marry Miriam? No way. They gave one look and they said, sorry buddy. Shebitziruha haisa choylonis. Va'azavua kol b'chure Yisrael. V'leratzu lisa isa. No one wanted to marry. That's what she's called, Azuva. And what happened? He went and he married her. And he went and he married her l'shem shemayim. And that's what the Gemara in Sotah continues and says, v'lomenik, why did it say choylid? V'cholev choylid, he gave birth to Azuva ishtoi. So the Gemara, choylid? Valay Minsav, Havanosev, what do you mean he married? He gave birth to her. He married her. So the Gemara says the answer is Ella on Rabbi Yochanan kol anoyse isha l'shem shamayin male olav hakosav ki'ilu yelada. And therefore, since Kalev married her l'shem shamayim, that's why it's considered as if the pasuk says that he gave birth to her. Now, some also want to say when it says here pasuk yutes about Thomas, this Gemara also says this: she died. She didn't die. This refers to the event in the Torah where she had saras. Which parashas did she have saras?
next week.
Next week, Halayscha.
Yeah.
Kelna Rafolunola, when she had Saras, and that's what it means of Yisavat Thomas, Azuva. Azuva is the same woman as Ephros. Right? Pasuk Yutes, Vatomas Azuva, Vayikach Loi Kolev Es Ephros. Vatomas means she died. The person has Saras, Kilu, they die. And then when it says that he remarried her after she was healed, he took her back. Okay, so that's another interpretation. So now over here dealing with multiple women. And double the women, we're dealing over here with the same woman which he, this is a medrash in Shema Yisraba. Ephras, Zom Miriam, V'lom Nikwa Shema Ephras, Shapar V'rav Yitzhal Al Yodecha. First of all, another reason why is she called Ephras? She is, that's Miriam. Klal Yisrael was fruitful and multiplied. Vayifru, Vayiru, Vayatzmu, Me'oid, Shisha, six children were born. Why? At the encouragement of Shifra and Pua. Who were Shifra and Pua? Yochel and Miriam. They encouraged the Jewish people to have children during the time of exile. So that's why here in this pasuk she is called Ephros. Ephros, lashon of Peru Urivu, fruitful. Shepodu v'ravu Yisrael al yadecha. Umay vayikachlo, what does it mean? Vayikachlo, he took her. It means she'achash mitzrapes, this is the medrash, after she was healed from tsaras, he took her back. When she was sick with tsaras, her husband Kalev divorced her. And then she was healed. He took back Ephros. He made a renewal of what's it called by the guy? They renew their vows. So does it mean mamish? So here the Medrash says it doesn't mamish mean that he divorced her and took her back. He had such simcha that she got better. He made for her a make believe wedding, a mock wedding. That's what it says.
Can you divorce him? Can you marry him?
Of course. It's a mitzvah. It's one of the Tayag mitzvahs. Machzir es gerushasai. Unless she marries someone between, then it's a to'eva.
I have a question.
Mary married Kohen, right?
Yes.
But didn't she promise them Malchus and Kohuna base? That wasn't that the bracha that was given to them in Shemosh?
Yocheved, not Miriam.
Not Miriam?
Not Miriam. From Yocheved came all three. Came Moshe, Aaron, Miriam was Miriam, obviously not. Hashem promised the matriarch. Yocheved's daughter was Miriam. And Miriam was married to Kalev, and Kalev had all of these Bitzalel, he was the master craftsman. His work lives on forever. What? Malchus went from Malchus. Malchus came from Rome. So you're saying where Moshe was a melech. Moshe Rabbeinu had the status of a melech. And Aaron was the kohuna. Moshe was the first melech, and that's where it stopped at that point in time. Okay, so this pretty much concludes the yichus for now. We're going to stop here for the yichus now. We've really gone through on this chart the yichus of Ram, the yichus of Kalev. We've learned in detail about his wives, Aziva, which l'chayra can either be a daughter or can be a wife. It could be the same woman as Ephros. The age, how old was he? He was 8 years old. And then he was 10 years old when he had Chor. And now we're going to shift to Yerachmeel. Yerachmeel is a very complex yichus. A lot of psukim describing the yichus of Yerachmeel to the covet of David, which they were cousins, uncles and cousins, second cousins, third cousins to David.